Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. The show is all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And I just really treasure these conversations that happen every week because it's a way that we can just continue to expand our horizons and truly get more empowered. I know I do when I have these wonderful guests on my show, and I'm so glad you're joining me today because it's going to be another one of those fantastic shows, and I'm really glad you're here to experience it. And before we jump into any of that, if you are visiting this interview, this show, for the very first time, thank you for coming to this place to learn and heal and grow. And I want to welcome everyone from the bottom of my heart. If you'd like to receive these ongoing interviews on a regular basis, you have a couple of options. You can like me over on my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, or you can opt into my website to my newsletter there, which is DrCherylSelman.com, and I will be able to send you these archive shows every week. In fact, I have another program on Progressive Radio Network, which is called The Love Code, and that's every Saturday at 11 a.m. But again, if you either like me on What Women Must Know, my Facebook page, or opt in, then I will be able to send you that show as well. And that's another great programming for keeping you inspired, uplifted, for healing. It has more of a spiritual orientation. I think if you haven't listened to it, you'll really enjoy my guest as well. So there you go, The Love Code, and of course here right now on What Women Must Know. So I want to introduce to you a guest who has been one of my healing gurus, I would say, I don't know, maybe 35 years or more. It may be longer than that, but I don't think I want to go back any further than that. But anyway, we're going to be talking with Angelo Druda, who is the author of a book called The Tao of Rejuvenation. We're going to be exploring how to reverse aging according to traditional Chinese medicine and a little bit about Angelo before we have our conversation. An old country woman first showed Angelo the medicinal power of herbs in 1970 in upstate New York. Thus began a botanical study that has still not come to an end. Angelo is a certified practitioner of traditional Chinese medicine, a member of the Australian Natural Therapists Association, and a senior educator in Mate Moche, the ministry established by the great spiritual teacher Adida Samaraj to instruct and serve human beings about the death process. Angelo's seminars about ancient rejuvenation practices and the death process have been offered all over the world. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Angelo Druda to the show today. So hello and welcome, Angelo.
Hello, Cheryl. It's my great pleasure to be here again.
So we do go way back, don't we, Angelo? Into the mists of
and,
time.
And like you, let's not go any further than 35 years.
Yes. So I have to just share with everyone that I met Angelo those many decades ago when I was living in Australia. We both were living in Melbourne, Australia, and I was going through so many health challenges. I just really was a mess. And I found Angelo, or Angelo found me. I'm not sure how we connected, but I have been working with Angelo. He has been my traditional Chinese herbalist for all those years. And in all honesty, I wouldn't be as healthy as I am right now without the guidance from Angelo and taking his customized herbal formulas. And they are a major part at this point in my life of a really effective rejuvenation program. So we're going to talk about that. And I've always been impressed not only with Angelo's knowledge, but also what I've learned through Angelo about the power of Chinese herbal formulas to really help the body rejuvenate, regenerate, and heal. And I really want everyone to listen closely to this interview because it's truly medicine that is so profound. And we're going to talk about what happens from a traditional Chinese medicine point of view to the body as we age, and how the Chinese have found ways that they've really excelled at in regenerating and rejuvenating the body. So how does that sound, Angelo? Can you manage all that today?
What a wonderful introduction. I'm honored. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Cheryl.
Yeah, no, it's very true. I mean, I have been consistent taking those customized formulas, and people need to understand they are designed by you Angelo doesn't say this, but I always refer to him as a master herbalist. He's very humble. But through the guidance of a master herbalist and understanding what's going on, and we'll talk about how you can diagnose and assess, these formulas are personalized to every individual and really therefore able to address the key imbalances that are occurring in the body and supporting that body and just chugging along in the best possible way. So Angelo, let's just talk about how the Chinese medical model understands the process in the body that happens as we age. So we can start there, and then we can talk about the strategies that have been used for thousands of years to help rejuvenate and regenerate ourselves.
Okay, excellent. Well, there are two fundamental points to this matter of rejuvenation, regenerating the body in the Oriental medical tradition. The first concept is that the traditional medical system of China, and this would also apply to Tibetan medicine and Ayurvedic medicine from India, those systems have a common root historically. They observe the fact that the human body possesses a profound regenerative chemistry. So there is a profound regenerative chemistry inherent in the body itself. And of course, we see this, the power of that regenerative chemistry, when we see the body suddenly heal itself from an imbalance of some kind. A person could be sick on Monday and then suddenly on Tuesday they're well. Well, what happened? Well, the body's regenerative chemistry came to the front and changed everything. Well, the Oriental medical system observes the existence of that regenerative chemistry. And they observed that when you bring the body, the organ systems of the body, into harmony, into equanimity, into balance, then that unlocks the body's regenerative chemistry. So in that sense, the Oriental medical system is a rational system. It's looking at ways to harmonize the organ systems, harmonize the functioning of the human body. So its approach to regeneration, rejuvenation, slowing the aging process, its fundamental approach is to optimize and unlock that regenerative chemistry. The second point, which pertains to this matter that we are considering here, is this matter of prenatal and postnatal. We all receive an inheritance from our parents and from our ancestors. In other words, we don't give birth to ourselves. We are being lived by the great process. And what we receive in that birth process is really granted to us via our parents and our ancestors and our whole lineage. So if you if your parents are big and strong, then that's the inheritance that they're giving to you. And that's called your prenatal inheritance. Some people are big, some people are small, some people are hot, some people are cold. This inheritance, the energy we receive from our ancestors, the essences that we receive from our ancestors. So this is a critical factor in longevity and health and well-being is what's your inheritance? And then the other consideration is postnatal. And that really pertains to lifestyle. What do you do to continue to enhance and magnify the inheritance that you received, or what do you do to increase the inheritance that you receive? So this is called your postnatal chi or your postnatal essence. And this has a lot to do with, well, what do you eat and do you exercise and what kind of supplements are you using? These are all geared towards magnifying and increasing the kind of chi and the kind of energy and the kind of essences that our bodies are manufacturing as we live our life. So in Oriental medicine, they're going to do whatever can be done to increase the equanimity and the balance and the harmony of the body so this regenerative chemistry is magnified. We are going to observe the inheritance of any particular body type. And then we are going to do the things that we need to do to magnify the chi of the body, the essence of the body, the postnatal circumstance of the body. So in some sense, these two points of view pretty much encapsulate the Oriental point of view towards regenerating, rejuvenating, and slowing the aging process as we refer to it here in the West these days.
So when we start getting, first of all, I probably want to say that if you live a really fast and furious life, you could be accelerating your aging process sooner using up these essences, right? So how you live your life determines what's really going on in your body and how well it's functioning, which is kind of, you know, blinding flash of the obvious, right? But the Chinese have this understanding of what happens to our energies either under extreme and continuous stress or when we are entering our, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, that stage of life, maybe even 40s right now in our culture. What's happening? And I find this to be a really fascinating question because when I work with my patients and you, and because we, you know, I consult with you with many of my patients and we have them look at ways to diagnose. And maybe we can also talk about the role of tongue diagnoses for understanding what's going on in the body. It appears that there are certain patterns that show up that contribute to, especially for women, but not exclusively, you know, fatigue or memory issues or hormonal imbalances or just finding that their skin is drying out, their mucous membranes are drying out. There's, you know, these are the patterns associated with aging, but they really are about these imbalances that drive the aging process that can be reversed. Does that make sense? Hope I'm not confusing anybody.
Completely, completely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It does. Well, what you're referring to is an extremely interesting consideration because the aging process in Chinese medicine is fundamentally read at the root of the body, what is called the kidneys, the organs of the kidneys. In Western medicine, it would be referred to as the basal metabolic process. It is the root life fire in the body. So one of the diagnostic observations that will be made is, what is the state of the energy and the essences in the kidneys being the storehouse of this energy, the storehouse of this basal life fire. So we can make observations about, well, is there a lot there or is there not much there at all? But the other thing you're referring to is the fact that there can be abundant energy in the body, but it can be all knotted up and contracted and not flowing freely. And so that then has an impact. You may observe that the energy is there, but the energy is stuck. The energy is stagnant. And this matter of not only keeping the energy in the body strong, but keeping the energy in the body flowing freely is really, from my perspective, the most critical matter relative to this whole matter of aging. For example, if we receive a trauma, let's say we receive a strong blow in our to our arm, well, you begin to see a bruise begin to surface there. Well, what is a bruise? A bruise is the blood has been flowing freely through the arm. Now it has been traumatized. The circulatory pathways have been damaged, and the blood is stagnating. That's a condition called stagnant blood. Well, the same thing happens with the energy in the body. And the energy, of course, is affected by all kinds of things. It's affected by what's happening physically. It's affected by what's happening emotionally, what's happening psychically. So, yes, what you're referring to, and these are key observations, diagnostic observations to be made, is what is the quantity of the energy and essences in the body? Are they there? Are they there in sufficient quantity? And then secondarily, are they flowing freely or are they tending to become stagnant? And where are they becoming stagnant? And so then the therapies can address both the matter of boosting energy and the matter of breaking up stagnation and getting the energy flowing freely again. And as you were referring to in women's health, in Oriental gynecological medicine, this matter of the stagnation of energy, particularly in the liver channels, has an extreme impact on the gynecological health of women. The energy may be present, but the energy is all stuck and knotted up. And every woman who has ever felt anger in the premenstrual phase of her cycle knows about this, because that anger is just the energy that's stuck, not flowing freely in the liver channel. So exactly what you are saying, the energy has to be present and the energy has to flow freely.
So maybe we can talk about some examples, because what you just said I think is really profound. If women are experiencing PMS symptoms, and some of those symptoms may include anger that happens right before your period, now that's, if you know how to read it, you're understanding where the imbalance is, because you shouldn't have any of those PMS symptoms at all. It's not normal to have PMS. It's an aberration. Something is out of balance. So if you're noticing you have a whole range of symptoms, then you really need to address and investigate where the imbalance is going on in your body and the organ systems, and then work with ways to bring that back into balance. So maybe we can just elaborate a little bit more and explain some of those issues and what to look for if you have symptoms that are going on, what they may be about, what the relevance is to, you know, these underlying organ imbalances or relationships. So it gives people an idea of some of the, to make sense out of what's going on. I think that's what's so valuable, to make sense of what the symptoms are, because then you know how to move forward and start making the changes that need to be made.
The Chinese had a gynecological specialty before any other culture on earth had a gynecological specialty. They observed the uniqueness of a woman's physiology because of the reproductive system, because of the nature of conception and birthing of human beings. It is a very unique system physiologically and hormonally. So Oriental medicine has had a gynecological specialty, and Oriental medicine has had gynecological formulas, medicinal formulas for hundreds and hundreds of years that persist to this day in their effectiveness. And I would say that the most common gynecological imbalance that we see in women tends to be a weakness of the central chi in the woman's body, the energy at the center of the body, the middle life fire, and that weakness in that central chi thus then creates a weakness in the body's production of blood. So we see in the most common gynecological pattern that chi deficiency, energy deficiency, and blood deficiency in the center of the body. And secondarily, we see a stagnation of the free flow of energy via the liver. And that pattern, one is a deficiency pattern. There's not enough of something, the chi in the blood. The other is an excess pattern. There's too much of something trapped in the liver. And it is that energy trapped in the liver that might create some of the heat in that phase, might create the emotional swings. Because what is anger? Anger is just an attempt to release what is stuck. The energy is stuck, so the emotion is stuck. And anger is an attempt to kind of let it go and release it. So there is that energy stuck in the liver. And therefore, then, that energy, which should be nurturing the spleen and the blood in the center of the body, is deficient. The center of the body is not getting the nutrient that it requires. So there is blood deficiency. So in this case, women will report the signs of these emotional swings. They might report digestive difficulties, constipation, loose stools. And then as the onset of the period begins, this pattern then can also lead to poor menstrual flow, menstrual pains. This whole pattern of symptomology could be traced to this fundamental issue of something is empty and deficient in the center of the body and there's too much energy trapped in the liver, in the upper part of the body. So we're not experiencing free flow. The body is not harmonized. And as you are describing, we get this report of premenstrual disharmony. And as you say, which is not natural to life. It's not natural to the system. It's not natural to the body. It is a sign of certain imbalances taking place. So that's the most common gynecological pattern that we see, and it can account for a host of imbalances, and they're both pointing to what we have been talking about. There's a deficiency of energy in blood, and when there's a deficiency of blood, then you're not getting a good abundant flow of blood to the ovaries. That's impacting hormonal secretions. And this is the most common balance. It's called liver chi stagnation with spleen chi deficiency and blood deficiency. And it is the most common gynecological imbalance. It's not difficult to change and harmonize, but one has to know what approach to take.
And so, Angela, what causes that? What are some of the either lifestyle or dietary choices people are making, women are making, that can bring this imbalance about?
It points mostly to poor diet, a toxic diet. For example, the more toxins you put into the body, then the heart of the liver has to work to purify it. So certainly a toxic diet has a very real impact on that. But perhaps even more so, it's mostly emotional stress. It's usually emotional difficulty that's impacting the liver. In Western science, in Western medicine, we understand the liver to be a blood filter, a blood purifier, and it is. And there are these, you know, phases of liver detoxification, the whole miraculous chemistry of how the liver purifies the blood. In Oriental medicine, the liver is also understood to be a regulator of the flow of energy in the body. And the fundamental reason why it is a regulator of the flow of energy in the body is because it is so rooted deep in the emotional body of the human being. We can see the physical aspect of the liver, but there are subtler components of the liver which root into the emotional body. So the liver is absolutely being affected by our emotional state, by the stresses in life. If someone walked up to us and put a gun to our head, we would feel very distinctively the contraction in the chest area around the liver. We would have no difficulty feeling that the liver in the body is actually contracting. Well, take away that gun being pointed at your head. Now you're in life and it's stressful, it's difficult, it's challenging. These are having very real effects via the liver. They're affecting the free flow of energy in the body. And if you combine that with a classic terrible Western diet now, which is loading the bloodstream with toxins, there's really no reason to expect your menstrual cycle to be clear and harmonious.
And we've had great success, and when you've helped me with patients with PMS, you've also had great success with patients who were diagnosed with fibroids. So maybe.
Well, the fibroid
go ahead. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the fibroid is perhaps the most concrete sign of a history of the lack of free flow of energy in the body. One of the principles of Chinese medicine is when things do not flow, they start to grow. So if there is not free flow and we have this pattern of stagnation, and just as we were back talking about that contusion on our arm after a trauma, a fibroid is just a sign that there is not free flow of energy in the body. It's typically rooted to a long-term history of liver qi stagnation. And because the liver then is stressed and not functioning properly, it doesn't do a proper job of filtering the blood. And so we typically then see a buildup of negative estrogen metabolites in the body, which feed the fibroid. So the fibroid is a concrete sign that this pattern has been in place for a time.
So I want to move on to more menopausal women, and we're going to talk about men too. But before I do that, what would be your recommendations for women who are dealing with some sort of PMS or fibroids? Can you give some basic guidelines for that stage of life with those issues?
Well, if there's PMS present, then suspect the liver and suspect that pattern which we have just been talking about. So the approach, the therapy, would be to open free flow, create free flow via the liver, and nurture the center of the body, nurture the center the chi in the body and nurture the blood in the body. And one could do that through supplementation, through changes in the diet. And then the issues of creating free flow through the liver typically requires an observation of why isn't it flowing freely? I mean, what are the issues, in other words, that are causing this? If there are emotional issues, then they can be, they should be addressed. And try and eliminate whatever these issues are that are creating that. There are wonderful, wonderful herbal medicines which their action has been described traditionally as dredging the liver. In other words, they move the chi and the energy through the liver. And some of these herbs are wonderfully effective. And I'm talking about herbs like bupleurum or cypress or curcuma, which is a turmeric. These are excellent medicines for creating free flow through the liver. Exercise is just absolutely critical. Everybody knows how good we feel after a good exercise regime, and it could be walking, jogging, tai chi, qigong. These systems of exercise have been developed with the same conscious observations of the human body as the development of their medical system. So right exercise really gets energy and qi moving through the liver. And in many respects, the simplest way is to use one of these classic Chinese formulas which address that pattern. And as I said, these formulas are hundreds of years old. They're still being used here in the West. You've used them. I've used them. Countless practitioners have used them to great success, which is really why this ancient gynecological specialty in Chinese medicine persists to this day. It still persists because it's effective in that respect. But even so, if you're using a medicine, you know, to whatever degree you can address the issues that are actually affecting the body, and be it, as I said, dietary changes or emotional changes, taking on exercise regimes, these are all good, sound ways of bringing the body's regenerative chemistry and magnifying it and making it more effective in your own life.
Do you have some thoughts about women who are vegans or vegetarians that they need to be aware of in terms of making sure that they are giving the body what it needs to stay healthy?
Well, it's exactly what you just said. I mean, I've been a vegan most of my life, and you have to do it consciously. If you don't do it consciously, then you will create imbalances. For example, it's a cold winter's day. Well, if you eat just a salad is cold. So now you're adding more cold to the body, and that cold food then will affect the energy of the spleen, the energy in the center of the body, which is why when clients go and see practitioners of Chinese medicine, many times they get told that you need to eat more warm food. You need to eat more warm food because you're using cold foods and your spleen is tending to be cold, so now you're only increasing that spleen cold, and now that's affecting your energy levels. It's affecting your blood production. So it has to be done consciously. So on a very, very, on a cold day, you want to eat differently. If there are deficiencies in your body, then find out What are the foods that warm the spleen? What are the foods that nurture blood production? Some of those foods are things like yams and sweet potatoes and the yellow squash. The yellow foods nurture the spleen. What are the foods that nurture blood production? And take into account and make those kinds of changes. So you don't want to be out there in Alaska on a cold day drinking a cold glass of juice, because while that may be purifying your blood and helping to keep the blood pure, it's chilling down your energy system. So it has to be done consciously. You have to be done intelligently. And as the Chinese observed many, many, many years ago, everything is affected by everything. So your body is functioning differently on a cold day than it is on a very hot day. And a wise man, it is said, takes all that into account, and he's making the right choices. Why? What is he trying to create? He's trying to maintain that harmony and balance in the body so that regenerative chemistry can continue to flow.
Well, so that's I think one of the most profound things I've learned from studying Chinese medicine, which they call Chinese dietary therapy, how to use food as medicine. And part of that wisdom is understanding what foods not only do you need to eat for certain imbalances, but what foods are best to eat during each season, because our body changes and the organs, the energies of the organs change with each season. And if you really want to have harmony in your body, you have to harmonize with nature. So, I'm horrified when, you know, I see people ordering ice drinks, or they go to a restaurant and have ice water or ice coffee, you know, in the morning when it's 30 degrees out. It's like, I shudder. It's like I would like to tell them, but it's like, no, it's not my place. But, you know,
youth. These are the kinds of things you can do as a youth.
You know, so it's made a big difference for me, and I know I feel better. When it's winter, you want to have warm soups and stews. You don't want to have salads, as you say, because the body needs the warmth to help build the resistance and energy during that season. So anyway, this knowledge is so profound, and I am forever grateful to have studied it and have also learned from you, because it's kept me in balance. And let's go on and talk about what happens during menopause or around perimenopause, menopause time, and how what the imbalance is, what women need to be aware of, what is going on in the body during this cycle of one's life, and then what really is needed to support these dynamics, these energies that change, so you can keep the function going, so you can stay healthy, so you have the energy, you have your joint health, you have your memory, you have, you know, healthy skin, you know, everything we are looking for to stay healthy as we move on in life.
As I said earlier, the aging process is read in Chinese medicine at the base of the body, in the kidneys. And by the age of 50, every human being is kidney deficient to one degree or another. It's just clocked right into the aging process. The terminology is the waning of the life in the kidneys. You're alive. You're using up energy. Well, by the age of 50, this waning can be read at the kidney level. And those changes in the kidneys eventually bring on what we refer to as menopause, the change of life. Those changes essentially create the changes of turning off the menstrual cycle. Now, in Oriental gynecology, it's looked at as a wholly positive event. The body produced a monthly menstrual cycle for the sake of the survival of the species, for the sake of reproduction, for most of the adult life of a woman. And as these deficiencies begin to show up, the body wants to turn off this regular manufacturing of the menstrual cycle. It's saying, essentially, we can no longer afford to use our resources for reproduction, so we want to turn off the reproductive process, and we want to use those resources for longevity now. And therefore, 50 is about the average age where most women will witness the cessation of their menstrual cycles. And now, you're no longer in the reproductive process. And the deficiencies almost universally appear in women, also in men, but we're talking about women in this moment, is the deficiency in the kidney chi, the energy of the kidneys. And in women's case, it's the deficiency of the kidney yin, the moist, living essences of life that are stored in the kidneys. You need both living energy and living water for life in the body. It requires both. The body has these living fluids, of which the blood is one of them. And there are deeper and subtler essences, the kidney yin essences that are stored in the kidneys. And this kidney yin deficiency is very pronounced in women because their body has been drawing on those yin essence reserves over the course of their reproductive life, manufacturing the period. It's a blood cycle. Women bleed every month. So by the time a woman is 50 and the change of life is happening, these yin levels are typically quite low. And so really what we're looking at is a deficiency in the yin, moist yin essences. It's like a deficiency of the coolant in an automobile. So the most common menopausal symptom is hot flushing. Well, why is this heat rising up from the base of the body and flushing throughout the body? Well, because in some sense, the coolant at the base of the body is deficient. There's not enough kidney yin. There's not enough water to control the fire. And this is the most universal deficiency at the age of 50 in both men and women. But again, because women have been manufacturing a menstrual cycle most of their life, that yin deficiency is quite pronounced. And so in that case, rule number one, therapeutic principle number one, is nurture the yin. This is the, from my perspective, the essential number one principle of right life and longevity is nurture the yin of the body. Bring up those yin levels, nurture them, supplement them. And in some sense, the book, The Tao of Rejuvenation, in some sense, the whole book is about nurturing the yin of the body, how to nurture those yin essences in the body. We also have to nurture the fire. And this is the reason why a practitioner of Oriental medicine will take a very detailed diagnosis of, well, how deep is the deficiency of yin and how deep is the deficiency of fire. When the yin is deficient, we tend to overheat. When the yang, the fire, is deficient, we tend to lack energy, clarity, intensity. So we want to make a diagnosis of those deficiencies, and then we will supplement those deficiencies. And again, there are medicines that supplement these things. There are exercise systems, again, like Tai Chi, Qigong, that nurture these things, meditation, contemplation, deep relaxation. These things nurture the yin and yang of the body. We do it every night for free. We go into deep sleep. We're tired. We hit the bed. We've had enough. We don't want to know any more about anything. We go to sleep. A few hours later, we wake up and we're refreshed and ready to go again. So just deep relaxation, sleep, contemplation, meditation, these things all function to regenerate the yin and the yang of the body, the yin and the yang of the kidneys. And then, of course, there are a host of natural substances that ancient Chinese doctors discovered in our environment that contained similar molecular chemistry of the essences and energies in the human body. And Chinese medicine, if it's famous for one thing, it's famous for their wonderful kidney regenerating tonics, in which we're using herbal substances to nurture the yin of the body, nurture the yang of the kidneys. And so many of these herbal substances are called hormonal precursors, because when you use them, the body begins to secrete that particular hormone again. So, in other words, rather than using an actual testosterone supplement, you could use a testosterone precursor herb, take it into the body, and it will increase your levels of testosterone. So Chinese medicine has these wonderful elixirs which nurture the kidneys. They nurture other organs, but they nurture that basal storehouse of energy and essence in the body. And by the age of 50, male or female, these essences and energies need to be supplemented pretty much universally. Oh no, did we lose you?
No, oh, here I am, sorry. Had a little glitch, but what I was going to say is that what I've learned is that every stage of life has its own challenges. I mean, if you're in your 20s and 30s and dealing with work and a family,
yes,
and that lifestyle is going to present challenges and which will affect the bodies in certain ways if you are not knowledgeable and taking care. And then as you move on in life, that when you're into menopausal years and then beyond, again, there are natural and predictive changes that go on, which if you are aware of and work with, you can optimize function rather than have decline. So that's the key of learning how to support and rejuvenate the body.
Yes.
And there are things you do when you're 30 that if you do when you're 60 or 65 or 70 will not support you, right? I mean, if you can run a marathon when you're in your 30s and you're in that level of health and vitality, but if you try to push your body and do a marathon when you're in your 60s or 70s, which may seem very impressive, but boy, unless you're really knowing what to do to support the body and recover from that, it can be quite damaging, because your body's not the same at 60 as it is on 30, and the demands have different impacts. So that to me is a really important message.
That is the fundamental message of ancient Taoist medicine: harmonize with the stage of life. They felt this was the key to longevity. Exactly what you're saying is harmonize with this particular stage of life. And they had this beautiful teaching, which is at that stage of life, it's not necessarily the quantity of qi, it is the quality of the qi. In other words, you're not 20, you don't need to be 20, but keep your qi good, keep your qi strong, maintain the quality of it. So it's exactly that. Harmonize with the stage of life, with the environment, is a key in ancient Taoist medicine to longevity.
We've really lost that in our culture. You know, we see the ability to, this is just an example, but, you know, to run a marathon when you're in your 65 is some symbol of being strong and young and vital, but we kind of misunderstand what the body's needs are at that stage of life, and to sort of emulate being a young person, being able to run like a 35-year-old when you're 65 is really miscalculating what's going on in the body and can really push us over the cliff. You know, we can really just deplete things more, stress things out that we just don't have the ability to recover from.
Yeah, the search for, you know, to be an eternal teenager is not necessary. And as if our teenage years was some kind of ideal, as you said, every stage of life we have our own challenges. Personally, I have found the later stages to be far more interesting, harmonious, and even healthful than those teenage years. But it's not a search that is necessary, but it's certainly one that occupies a lot of people and in which people spend a lot of money.
So before we complete our conversation, we just have a few more minutes. Can you just briefly explain the value of one of the ways that you diagnose a condition, so a way that you look inside the body to see exactly where the issues are and how that imbalance is showing up? Talk about the tongue diagnosis specifically.
Well, there are many legs to the diagnostic table in Chinese medicine. The two primary diagnostic legs, one is the pulse diagnosis, where the energies and essences of the body are actually palpated through pulse diagnosis. And people go and see their acupuncturist, they're going to see their acupuncturist palpating the various pulse positions. So you feel the body. You can actually feel the energies, feel how the energy is flowing, feel the blood, feel how it's flowing, and you can feel these things and palpate these things in different locations which pertain to different organ systems. That's one diagnostic leg of the table. The other diagnostic leg of the table is to observe the tongue. And it is said in Chinese medicine that the tongue is an internal organ of the body that we can actually see. And nowadays, in this modern high-tech world in which we live, where people work remotely with one another, and this ability to observe the tongue is an extremely useful device in getting a sense of what's going on inside that body. So tongue diagnosis has been a critical form of diagnostics in Chinese medicine and other systems of medicine, including allopathic Western medicine. Look at the tongue. You're going to actually see what's going on in the organs of the body. Whereas in palpating the pulses, there are various locations where different organs can be read. Similarly, on the tongue, there are various locations on the tongue where the state of various organs can be read. And the color of the tongue and the body of the tongue and shape of the tongue and the coating of the tongue and the location of all these things provide an excellent diagnostic opportunity. And nowadays, in the modern world of ours, we can actually take photographs of the tongue, and then the photograph can be enlarged, which is something that even ancient Chinese doctors could not ultimately do, because you can only have a person stick their tongue out for just so long. But you don't get an enlarged view of it. So nowadays we can actually take a photograph of the tongue, enlarge it, and really get a good sense of what's happening in that body. So tongue diagnosis and the pulses are two critical forms of diagnosis. You and I use a lot of tongue diagnosis these days and enlarging them, and it's really an excellent diagnostic tool.
Well, I love the ability to use the tongue for a diagnosis, because if you know how to read it, and you know, you've been trained, you're so excellent at that, but you really can see in present time where the problems are in the body, what organs are stressed, what's stressing it, what are the issues that are causing the stress on which organs, and therefore, when you see that pattern, you can match it with a personal formula that you developed that's customized for each patient, really address and bring balance back, you know. And then, of course, you want to accompany that with proper dietary choices and lifestyle choices. So it's bringing the whole picture into balance and harmony. But, you know, I love tongue diagnosis. In some ways, it gives you more accurate and present-time information than doing a blood workup, right? You know, so
yes,
it's a fantastic tool. It's a fantastic tool to really going inside the body in present time to see where the problems lie from that traditional Chinese model. So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty exciting field. And I, as I said earlier in our conversation, really grateful to you, Angelo, because it has been one of the staples in my own personal program for healing and rejuvenation, and I work with you on a regular basis and send you my tongue photo, and we can see what's going on, what changes are happening, what I need, what needs to be tweaked, and as a result, it really keeps me operating in peak performance. So that's my goal, you know, it's just like keeping as healthy as possible throughout all stages of life. And when there is an issue, I can always get back in touch with you and we can see what it is and then make the adjustments. So if people want to learn more, I recommend you visit Angelo's website. Lots of great information, lots of educational material. You can have a consultation with Angelo. He has some standard formulas that you may be interested in that can help you. And the way to find him is to go to tbmedicine.com, tbmedicine. For traditional botanical medicine, but just shorten it to tbmedicine.com. So, Angelo, thank you again for being on the show, for all your wisdom, and just sharing your wealth of information with us today and giving us encouragement and hope and knowing that we actually can heal and repair and rejuvenate at any stage of life.
Thank you, Shel. Thank you so much.
So for all of you listening, thanks for joining me again. I hope you'll be with me every week. Don't want to miss out any of these fantastic conversations that I have every week here on Progressive Radio Network. And I'll see you again next week. And until then, I always want to remind you to honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.